Item number seven, the ALEA grant program overview and proposal to offer grants once per biennium. This is a briefing as well as a public hearing. Josh Nicklitz, ALEA grants manager, welcome.
Good morning. Again, Josh Nicklitz with the DISH program, manager of our ALEA grant program. Here to brief you today, I'll provide an overview of the ALEA grant program,
highlight one project in each region, and discuss a proposed change regarding our application and review process. So the purpose of this program is essentially to fund individuals and organizations utilizing volunteers to conduct projects throughout Washington State that protect and enhance fish, wildlife, and their habitats, enhance sustainable fish and wildlife recreational opportunities, educate the public about our fish and wildlife resources, improve public access to the outdoors, and collect and disseminate fish and wildlife science. The funding source for the program is the Aquatic Lands Enhancement Account. It's where funds from the sale and lease of aquatic lands are deposited. The grant program is funded at a level of $1.36 million per biennium, and those funds are used exclusively for grants. Our application period is from December 1st to February 28th annually. And so we're in December 12th now, so we are accepting grant applications for projects we'll fund in the upcoming biennium. Our eligible applicants include citizens, nonprofits, conservation districts, schools and tribes, state and federal agencies, and for-profit businesses are not eligible for the program. The types of projects we fund are education outreach, habitat enhancement, artificial production, facility development, research / citizen science. We consider other types of projects that are kind of outside the box, and a lot of our projects are kind of combinations of project types. Our applications are reviewed and scored by the ALEA Grants Panel, which consists of 18 WDFW staff appointed by the executive management team and consisting of regional and headquarters personnel. Panelists review and score applications using Fluid Review. It's an online grant management software platform. Panelists typically have six to eight week time frame to review and score projects. In Fluid Review, then these reviewers meet for a one to two day meeting to discuss the merits of the proposals and finalize our scoring. A rank list of projects is then provided to the director and EMT for their approval. Our evaluation criteria. In scoring these proposals, reviewers are looking at seven criteria. They're looking at consistency with WDFW goals and objectives. They're looking at the public benefit. They're looking at the level of volunteer effort, the focus on priority habitats and species, the applicant's qualifications, the project's measurable objectives, and overall cost benefits. So now let's take a look at the results of the two application and review rounds conducted for the 2013-2015 biennium. Round one in gray there was conducted before the start of the biennium and awarded 1 and 2 year grants. In that round, we had 86 applicants. We funded 55 grants with a total funding level of over $1.14 million. Now, round two, conducted before the start of the second year of the biennium, awarded just 1 year grants. In that second round, we had 57 applicants, 29 grants funded with a total funding level of just a little over $280,000. A majority of our applications are received in the first round. Most first-round requests are for two-year grants. In this round, we tend to attract larger projects with higher fund requests, and most grant funds are awarded in this round. This next graphic shows how the biennium's grants are distributed by region. Each region shows the total value of the grants awarded in that region and the number of projects. As you can see, we have a lot more projects in Region 6. We tend to get more applications in Region 6, so it follows that that happens. Likewise, we tend to get a lot more applications in the Western regions and the Eastern regions, so typically we have more grants awarded in those Western regions. We also have about a dozen projects that take place over multiple regions. Moving on to our project highlights. For Region 1, we have the Colville Fish Hatchery Skill Center, sponsored by Washington for Wildlife. It's a combination artificial production and youth education project, funded $44,600. And Washington for Wildlife is working in cooperation with the New Tech Skills Center in operating a vocational program, training area high school students in fisheries and wildlife science. And the LEA grant is supporting their efforts to operate the Colville Fish Hatchery and conduct their aquaculture training program. In addition to the educational component, they're also producing trout for release in the local lakes. For Region 2, we have pygmy rabbit recovery on Lancaster property, sponsored by citizen Peter Lancaster. It's one of these kind of outside-the-box type projects, another project, and we awarded a grant in the amount of $33,600. And this project built a 10-acre predator-proof enclosure for pygmy rabbits, a state endangered species. The structure was modeled after existing structures at Sagebrush Flats, and the results have been very good. 27 pygmy rabbits were released into the enclosure during the weeks that followed its completion last December. As of now, 100 kits have been born in the enclosure and released into the wild, and they expect litters of 150 to 200 in the following year. For Region 3, we have the Oak Creek Wildlife Education Corps project, sponsored by the Oak Creek Wildlife Education Corps of Volunteers. It's an education outreach project funded at $36,670. And their project goal is to enhance the educational and viewing experience for visitors to the Oak Creek wildlife area. Volunteers staff the visitor center throughout the winter months, provide maps and guidance to hunters, operate public tours, and assist with cleanup of the wildlife area. These are really very dedicated group of volunteers. They've been doing this for a long, long time, and this is a project that we're really glad to support. For Region 4, we have the Salmonid Population Monitoring Project, sponsored by the Nooksack Salmon Enhancement Association, a research/citizen science project funded at $11,605. And in coordination with multiple partners, they're conducting spawning ground surveys on several Nooksack River Basin streams. Surveyors are counting the number of live and dead fish by species. They're counting the number of reds, and they're taking otoliths samples for analysis. The surveys are done by community volunteers. They're following WDFW survey protocols, and all the data is forwarded to WDFW and other Nooksack River Basin watershed co-managers. For Region 5, we have the Kleinline Kids Fishing Project, sponsored by the Kleinline Kids Fishing Nonprofit, a youth education project funded at $26,203. The Kleinline Kids Fishing Project is, you guys may have heard of it, it's very popular, probably the biggest in the state. It's a multi-day community event at Kleinline Pond in Vancouver, focused on youth fishing and fish, wildlife, and environmental education activities. Approximately 2,600 youth attended the 2013 event, and among other activities, they had an opportunity to catch trout supplied by the agency. Our Region 6 project is the Tarboo Watershed Plantathon, sponsored by the Northwest Watershed Institute, a youth education and slash habitat project funded at $12,875. And during the 9th annual Plantathon, students from 5 East Jefferson County schools, their parents and volunteers planted over 4,000 native trees and shrubs over 5 acres of riparian and wetland habitat along Tarboo Creek. The event was preceded by in-class education by the Northwest Watershed Institute about the ecological connections between salmon and their habitat. That's it for our project highlights. So moving on to our proposed rule change. Our proposed rule change concerns the review and selection process, specifically how often we would review and accept grant proposals. Again, grant applications are currently accepted and reviewed annually during 2 funding periods or 2 rounds. And our review process is thorough, fair, and effective, but it does require significant investment of staff time to conduct. Just how much staff time? Well, using second round data from our most recently completed review round last May, we had, again, 57 proposals. There was an average staff commitment of 32 hours per reviewer. times 18, you come up with 576 hours in application review and the meeting. Factoring administrative time and just conducting the whole process from starting to review the application, get that ready, to where we actually do the contracts, I've approximated about 120 hours for about 700 total staff hours to conduct that second round review. So our proposed change is just to accept grant applications once per biennium prior to the start of a biennium. It follows that we would also conduct the review and scoring process just once per biennium and award all funds during that round. The expected benefits, just covered it pretty much, and really the primary benefit and really the main reason we're proposing this change is to reduce the staff workload associated with conducting the annual application review process. Again, with the second round data, we estimate a savings of 700 hours of staff time. We're going to also realize a cash savings of $3,950, which is the annual fluid review subscription cost. If we only do one grant round, we only have to pay for it once. As far as public comment on the proposal, I sent an email out to all the 2013-2015 grantees requesting input on the potential change. I categorized the 16 responses as favorable, neutral, and unfavorable, shown in the pie chart. Favorable respondents either liked the proposal because of the expected efficiencies in terms of reducing agency effort and cost while still providing the program fully funded, and or they, some folks are used to applying annually for the same type of project who under the proposed change they just have to apply once per biennium. Neutral respondents provided comments that really didn't indicate a strong opinion either way. The one unfavorable comment we received, the person liked the idea, did not like the idea of accepting applications every 2 years, preferring to keep the options open for a project that might come in between those application periods. So in order to implement the change, we need to amend WAC 220-130-040, which covers the review and selection process. If you take a look at number two there, we're proposing to say that applications for projects will be accepted at least once per biennium during the open application period of December 1st through February 28th. Now, we could just say that we'll accept applications just once per biennium, but by saying at least once per biennium, it gives us flexibility in the future down the road. If we may want to again offer a second round of grants, we can do that without having to amend WAC again. Also, since we want that flexibility, we also need to change 2B, which we would have read, if applications are accepted after the start of a biennium, they will be for project funding in the second year of biennium. So if we do offer those grants again, they'll just be for second year projects. So at this time, I'm asking the commission to consider this change. The next steps, after this briefing, there'll be some time for public hearing. At the December 19th conference call, I expect to request that the commission adopt the change. And that concludes my presentation. Thanks for your time. And I'm available for any questions or comment.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
That was great. Commissioner Smith.
Thank you, Jess. Great program. My question is a little bit out of the context of this, though it does fit into the broader LEIA program. In many grant funding mechanisms, they would say proposals are encouraged in certain areas and where they want to direct some funding for a given cycle. Would it be, and I'm just throwing this out as a question in my own mind, would language like that be appropriate to say, proposals from the ADA community are encouraged in this cycle? I'm thinking specifically of something that would engage the ADA youth that we could also then work within the ADA advisory group. Mm-hmm. I think it would be an empowering thing so that if one of the region grants did engage something that we could focus on, I think it would be very, very well received by the ADA advisory group, and I think it's a nice message. So I'm just throwing that out as a broader question.
Thanks for that question, Commissioner. We don't generally put out information about we're focused on this or that at a particular time. Like I said, we have 18 WDFW staff who are involved in this, and you have occasionally we get a regional director, we have biologists, managers. So people are aware of those types of priorities. I think it's a good idea, something that we haven't done before. And I'm thinking just on emphasizing certain aspects, certain things we might want to do. That's something we can definitely talk about doing now. It's a good idea.
Yeah, just a follow-up. And I know with 18 staff, you're going to get a lot of input. But sometimes something like this doesn't get on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think throwing it out there for the 18 staffers to think about, that might be, you know, so you don't have to use the encouraged language. Mm-hmm. It would be more or less to get them thinking. So something in their region that they could be, and also again just to offer up the ADA advisory committee to help as part of the, if needed, or maybe that's just another layer you don't want to go into. But
we have a lot of layers.
Okay,
but no, it's so you're thinking more like internally with the reviewers saying, hey. These are some of the things we're focused on.
Either way, I'm just thinking if it would be really nice if I was to read one of these six and it did focus on youth with challenges, you know, and it's, again, it's...
And we do have projects.
Right.
But a lot of times fishing
these don't get the, you know, the visibility.
Uh-huh.
Hence, you have people like on the ADA committee that think nothing's being done. So this is just a way to highlight what is already being done, or to elevate something that we could ratchet up to be done a little bit more. So.
Absolutely good idea.
Because you have a flexible grant program that's really good and does great community outreach, and I think this is just another avenue.
Absolutely.
Director Anderson?
I'm just struggling with what to do with that suggestion. I think I'm certainly willing to make our staff who are a part of this process aware of that suggestion. I have reservations if we were going to do something that was focused in this particular area. I mean, say look for opportunities for grant applications that address this need. That's great, no problem. If we were to put something in writing that we want you to focus on this one, then it seems to me, well, for how long, or what about there are probably a dozen other areas that you might want to focus attention on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just hearing this, that look, you know, we encourage you to look for those kinds of opportunities. We can convey that to our staff so that during the grant process and then looking at for potential projects, they have that in mind.
Okay.
Is that a reasonable response to that?
That's fine, Director.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about getting it on the radar out there, and I understand about not putting in writing. But, again, going back to the ADA committee, I think what that could do is to get the word out. So, you know, just say this program is here without any favored language, but the program is here. If you know groups that would, so it's to stimulate the applicant pool in a sector. So, but I'm with you.
Okay, great. Commissioner Holtzmiller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good presentation, Josh. I guess a wee bit of a two-part question. The first one you talked about was the Colville Hatchery, and we'd had a really good presentation here a while back on it, and it looked like a really neat deal. Now, those projects that are very successful, next funding round, do they get a little bit weighted a little more so they can continue?
There really is no waiting. I mean, we have seven criteria. They have points associated with, and that's how reviewers are supposed to score it.
Okay.
So they need to take the proposal as it is. You know, they're going to know that this project was funded. They're going to know that this project was successful. So in some terms, it does help that way, especially when it comes to applicant qualifications. You know they've done it. They've done it well, so they're going to score high. So projects that get grants and do good tend to do well in the future.
And I can definitely appreciate the fact that you're trying to cut down on the overhead by limiting to one funding cycle rather than two. The only thing of it is be a little careful that, well, we've got this many projects. The bulk of them are very worthy projects, but let's not fund one that's kind of iffy just to get the money out the door.
And that's a great question. That's something we thought about in developing this proposal is we don't want to be forced to fund projects that aren't good. So I've been in this position for about 7 years. When I started developing this, I took a look back at all the application rounds we had in that first round, where we cut the line off, and those projects below. And there are projects that have been successful that don't necessarily get grants every year. We have good projects that do fall below that funding cutoff line. So I think we're going to have plenty of quality projects. I'm not worried about having to, and we would recognize projects that weren't meeting criteria.
Well, and that's what above the line. You did leave that option open, and if it got to that point, you could do funding round two, correct?
We could.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Great. Okay. Anything else? Director, Commissioner Kehoe.
Thank you, Josh. Just a quick question, too, about this change. Will it allow you to have a better idea as far as what the funds available for grants? I mean, if you just do this on a two-year basis, I mean, does that kind of say, okay, well, I know that I have this pot of money mm-hmm. available, and then therefore make your decision easier as far as the amount of funding that you will have available to fund projects? Or not?
Not sure if I'm quite following the question.
Yeah,
we're going to have $1.36 million available. So I mean,
so that's a fixed amount.
It is.
Okay, I guess I didn't appreciate that. And then maybe one other question too: Does the statute that sets forth the ALEA program, does it is it pretty much silent as far as the administration of the program, just says create a grant program? I mean, does it have any firm direction as far as when applications are to be accepted?
Yeah, we have it. It identifies the application period, December 1st to 28th, or December 1st to February 28th, et cetera. I mean, there's quite a few guidelines and rules in there that are applied in the program.
Okay, in the statute.
In the statute?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can't answer that.
Okay.
Off the top of my head. I can get back to you.
No, that's fine.
Director Anderson?
I just want to say Josh has done a really great job of managing this program and creating the process. We'd get a lot of really great proposals from across the state. And the process that he set up is one where we have everybody when you time decision time. We have all the recommendations that have come in. They've followed the criteria. We have people sitting around the table from all different parts of the state, and we're coming together as an agency, saying this set of projects represents our agency values, understanding that those who bring projects forward are going to be champions for those projects, but at the end of the process we all say this is the right set of projects, knowing that we leave a number of good projects unfunded just because there's a limited amount of money. But we're fortunate that we have a lot of really good projects proposed, so it really gives us certainty that the ones that we select are going to be really good ones. So just wanted
to.
Absolutely. Do the ALEA grants that we fund provide funding for salaries and benefits?
No.
Not at all.
No salaries and benefits.
No
salaries.
It's all volunteer,
yep.
Just the
goods
kinds of
services,
equipment and supplies
mainly,
necessary.
Equipment, volunteer mileage
yep.
can be a big one because
yeah,
you have volunteers driving long distances, et cetera. So,
so it really leverages a lot of
absolutely.
Volunteer time and
leveraging
kind
it with
contributions.
Volunteer effort.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program. Funded with GUIDUC revenues primarily.
I believe you had a ALEA several years ago, didn't you? Were you involved in the LEA grant?
Yes, I have been. Before I was on the commission.
Yeah. So I said a long time ago.
Yeah.
Bill was sweating.
Well before I was on the commission. We had several years of a LEA grant support for our greenhouse operation and construction for the propagation of biocontrol insects for Spartina eradication. It was great. Very appreciated.
How many have been given over the years? Do you have-
over the years, I can estimate 100 a biennium, 100 projects a biennium.
And are all those somewhere listed that is accessible?
I can give you a list. It's not readily available.
Well, no, don't go to that. If I wanted to refer somebody to it, what would be the best website or just to contact you? Or
they could contact me. They can go to – we do have a webpage. Depends on what information they're looking for. If they're looking for all the past projects funded, they would need to contact me directly.
Somebody that's not aware of the KIDCO that wanted to maybe apply.
Yeah, definitely go. We have all the information on our webpage, some background on the program, how to apply, and with the link to our fluid review site, so they go and apply on that fluid review site.
Commissioner Mencken?
I'm a little confused. I probably missed it during your introduction, but ALEA stands for Aquatic Lands Enhancement Account. Are you how strongly tied are you to aquatic lands and all of
question.
Your grants?
We get that question a lot. Aquatic Lands Enhancement Account, well, we got have these products that aren't even on aquatic lands, so what do we do? We're authorized in the Aquatic Lands Enhancement Account statutes. It authorizes use of the funds for fish and wildlife projects. So a lot of our projects are tied to aquatic lands, but they don't necessarily have to be.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good. Great job.
All right.
Thanks so much for your work. Okay. Do we have anyone who signed up? No public input?